I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psychic!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, the Sox had them right where they wanted them on opening day, except for the wind chill. And then in the final three innings, it all blowed up real good. And the thing is, you got to be patient this year because we're going to see more of that than less of that, I would suppose. But nobody knows more about pitching than Steve Stone. And Steve, am I right to worry that in a situation like we have with the personnel of the Sox, we're going to get plenty of hitting, we're going to get plenty of runs, but saves may be harder to come by?
Well, I would absolutely love to say, Steve, that you were wrong. But then again, I can't.
No, but you'd like to say that about most things I say, not just this.
We're going to see a few more of those adventures late. Look, if you don't have Craig Kimbrell, if you don't have Aroldis Chapman out in your bullpen, and if you might notice the Sox don't have that guy, then you have to mix and match. And then Ricky goes out there, he makes a move designed to go hitter for hitter to where he thinks he can get this guy out, not necessarily anointing a closer because he doesn't have one to anoint. And yesterday, it was a team problem late. I mean, it wasn't just Soria, who was the last guy to stand out there and try to get somebody out. And so it wasn't Infante, who was the last guy who started the parade. It was pretty much a team effort. And when that happens, you just regroup, you come back. The off day is today, a day of reflection for the boys, a day of just gorgeous weather, and go out there, maybe go to the beach, do some nice things. And just forget about yesterday because, look, this is a team that's in transition. We've known that for some time. It was a stated tear down and rebuild last year. That's when it started. And for all of the people who are very frustrated when yesterday happens, you just have to go back and remember we've had a couple of worst of first teams, maybe 15, 18 years ago, whatever it is. Take a look at the rebuild of the Cubs, and yes, it was a little shorter than people thought, but it was a teardown, and they suffered for a few years, and that's exactly what's going to happen here. However, we have to hang our hat on the fact that there are so many good young guys coming up that I talked about waves yesterday, the first wave of guys coming up, and that might be Kopech, that might be Jimenez, I'm not sure exactly. And then in the second wave, don't forget Dane Dunning. Everybody likes to talk about Lopez and Giolito in that Washington trade. Dane Dunning's going to be a major league starter. He's got excellent control, rated the best control in the organization. Luis Robert, eventually, Robert is going to get healthy when he does. The sky's the limit in his talent because he can run with big power. You know, we're waiting for the likes of Alec Hansen, Zach Birdie coming back from an arm injury. So they're going to come when they come in waves. The first and second will be here in the not-too-distant future. I'm talking about in the next couple of years. And then there'll be a third wave. You know, don't forget about Zach Collins, the number one pick who's down there. Jake Berger, unfortunately, might have been the closest hitter to the major leagues, but it tore his Achilles tendon, so he's down. But there's a lot of happy times in the future.
Let's talk about the starting pitching, Steve. And you expected Lucas Giolito to deliver what we saw from him when we talked to you last week. Lopez, Giolito, quality starts this past week. Carson Fulmer missed by one inning, but certainly a credible outing from him. Do you like what you've seen from the starting pitchers overall so far?
Well, I don't think Carson Fulmer, Dave, missed for any innings. I thought that was a very impressive performance.
No, I just meant statistically. I just meant statistically. Oh, he was one inning shy of the definition. I was nitpicking.
Oh, you're talking about a quality start.
Yeah.
Quality start's a 450 ERA. It's a quality start if your team scores more than three runs. Way to go,
right?
If you get beat 3-1. So, you know, quality starts is in the eye of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to keep your team around. And, you know, on a positive note, this team has played six games. This team has been in six games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting blown out early. You know, they're giving some games away. Let's face it, the defense is okay. You know, it's not good. There's some flaws in the defense, and there's going to be. Ricky played a hunch yesterday because of the speed and the power from both sides of the plate. He played Lurie Garcia in left field, and Lurie, who made a wonderful catch the night before in Toronto, it wasn't necessarily that bad a physical play, but the mental preparation for that play was lacking. That is, you got a man at first base, I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you have to eat the baseball. You cannot let it get by you. So you play it into a single. I mean, it's Victor Martinez running. They didn't have big speed on the bases. Victor sliced that base hit. Louis's got to go over and just knock the baseball down, regardless of what happens, because it's going to be runners at first and second. You're still going to have the lead, and you still only need one out. So it was thought process as well as physical execution. Lurie is an okay outfielder. At times, he can be very good because he has big speed. But that time, he just caught up and, call it a mental block. Maybe one of those things that he could have thought out a little bit better and thought about the fact that regardless of what happens, can't let the ball get by me, because if it does, it's tie game. We saw what happened, and I don't think that mistake is going to be repeated. I don't even think they really had to talk too much to him, because I truly believe he understands what he did.
Sure.
It was just, again, you're not anticipating the baseball coming to you. What do I do when it does come to me? Then think it out ahead of time so there's no surprises when the ball does get to you.
Are kids now, because of the ESPNization of the world, are kids now more likely in the bigs to try to make hero plays than they were in your day?
I think so. I really do, and I think that's pretty observant, because every time you take a look at it's the MLB network, it's ESPN, it's everywhere you look. Look at various spots on the internet, and you look at different sites, and they'll all have great plays. This guy made a great play. This guy went over the wall to catch the ball. This guy had a diving play, and boom, you're one of the stars of the day. But sometimes good solid baseball wins the day. I love highlight reel plays. However, there was a guy a few years back, and not too far back, by the name of David Eckstein. And David has two world championship rings, and he had it with the Angels, and he had it with the Cardinals. The reason why he has two rings is that his nickname was Just Enough. Whatever it took, he was able to do it. He wasn't flashy. He was never spectacular. But when you had to have a double play turned, he turned it. When you had to have a bunt, he bunted it. When you had to have a hit and run, well, he was successful at that. That's why he was so well-received by his teammates, because he was selfless. And that's the key to a team that's going to win. You know, when you feel you're not going to win or you're out of it, you become a very selfish player, because let's say you're 22 games back, you come up, man at second, nobody out, you ground to second, you move him to third, but it's 0-for-1. But if this is not a team effort, if this is trying to get that team to win, then suddenly that 0-for-1 doesn't mean anything. So what you do is you try to hit for yourself. You try to pitch for yourself. You try to do everything you're doing out there for yourself. And because this league, better or for worse, pays off on statistics. They don't pay off on ground balls to second, moving the runner from second to third, unless you have a winning team, unless it's very important. Now, Ricky's done a good job in teams that probably are not going to compete for a bit of imparting to his guys, you know what, you have to move that man over, because it's like muscle memory. If you learn how to do it, the next time it's easier. And the next time it's easier, he's laying the foundation for winning baseball. That is a selfless baseball team. But that only is a team that eventually is going to win. And this team knows in a couple of years they will. So I think they're all going through with what Ricky and his coaching staff is imparting.
Not going to warm up till next week. What's the coldest game you ever remember playing in?
The first World Series game that I was scheduled to be involved with, I woke up in Baltimore, which is, mostly fairly moderate temperatures, and I looked outside and I thought I slept through the World Series, because there was about 4 inches of snow on the ground, and I went, oh my God, it's November. Looked at the calendar and went, yeah, well, we got lots of snow. That was a bad one. There's been other times. I mean, some games in Chicago with the wind blowing. Number one, the wind blowing straight in. It was absolutely awful. We've had lots of awful weather here, too many to count. And when you're born and raised in Cleveland, and you start your first game in high school, and it's 34 degrees, and it's snowing, and it's raining, and it's muddy. But you have to play games in that weather. You get used to it. So if you're a Midwest, if you're an Eastern guy, you get used to that kind of stuff. But we have a lot of Latino players, not only on the Sox, but everywhere all over baseball. They're used to playing in warm weather consistently. And not saying they all get off to slow starts, but a whole lot of them did.
Sure.
That doesn't presuppose that it's only the Latino players. Ryan Sandberg made the Hall of Fame, and he notoriously got off to very slow starts. Some guys just have to get their rhythm. And one thing to understand, you're playing in Arizona, you're playing in Florida, you're playing in 85-degree weather. All of a sudden, you come back and it's 34. It's tough to get the feel for the ball. Hitters don't want to hit inside fastballs because their hands are singing to them into the seventh inning. So it's the advantage of the pitcher if he can get loose. I personally get off to pretty quick starts because I was used to it, but I can understand the guys who don't because they're not used to it. And also, bear in mind something else. You're playing a whole lot of day games in spring training. They mix in a night game or two, but then you start the season, and for the most part, first month of the season, you're playing almost all night games, so you have to get used to that also. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but it always has been. Some guys get off quickly, some guys slowly.
Great talking to you as always. The information, invaluable, from the great Steve Stone. And God willing, you'll never dump four in Rays Creek or anywhere close to it the next time you're playing Augusta.
Thank you. I'd have to drop it out of my bag because right now I'm not swinging the club at all. So,
yeah,
but I'd love to give it a shot. Take care, guys.
All right, see you, man.